Welcome to a new podcast that I'm calling The Pretext. It's called The Pretext because, well, the big text or the big scripture, the big writing that we look at every Sunday is the one that we look at during the sermon. And so I'm calling this The Pretext because I want to use this time to give you just a brief introduction to some of the major concepts that you're going to be encountering in the scripture coming up. And some of you are thinking, well, why is he doing that now? Why doesn't he just do that on Sunday? And the answer is because my sermons are already over 30 minutes long and I don't want to make them longer on you, but there's so many things I want to tell you, so many things about a certain scripture. And it actually, I was kind of inspired. I've been thinking about doing something like this for a long time because I know there's some of you who are just really anxious for a deep dive into theology and scripture and to do that in a sustained kind of way. And I've been thinking about how I could do this, and I thought that since I've been thinking about these texts so much and I have so much I want to say about them, that I would actually say some of those things. And it makes a lot of sense, I thought, to start now because we're doing this sermon series on Matthew chapter 12. And some of the things in Matthew chapter 12 are a bit more technical, and I think you're going to find it really helpful to have some, you might say, pretext for the actual text. And so what I'm going to try to give you right now is not some well-formed rhetorical piece, but really just some technical information that's going to help you really take to heart what Matthew's teaching us here and what Jesus is teaching us here. And there are some incredible things. So the pretext that I want to give you is for the text, Matthew chapter 12, verses 1 through 14. And what we're going to be diving into here is Matthew's gospel. And one of the things we have to understand about Matthew's gospel is that he is writing predominantly for a Jewish audience, which means when you read Matthew, there's going to be some things that if you're a Gentile and you don't have that cultural understanding and you don't have such a grasp sometimes on the Old Testament, that there are going to be things that make you kind of scratch your head. So Matthew is going to be writing to people with a sort of a pre-built cultural understanding and a really powerful grasp on the Old Testament. So Matthew, for example, he's going to quote the Old Testament a lot. He's going to be trying to convince people in general that Jesus is the Christ, and he's certainly doing that here in this text. And what he's going to do here is he's going to bring up, and I believe this is the only time he does this in his gospel, a sabbatical controversy or Sabbath controversy. Well, what is the Sabbath? The Sabbath in the Old Testament is the third commandment. Now, if you're not used to having the third commandment, which is remember the Sabbath day by keeping it holy, and you're thinking, well, that was a different number for me when I was growing up, just please understand that the way that the Ten Commandments are numbered differs depending on your tradition. The commandments don't change. They're all the same, but different traditions within Christianity number them differently. Within our tradition, the Lutheran tradition, we call that the third commandment. Now, in the Old Testament, and we're going to talk about what it means for us today, for a Christian today, but for an Old Testament Jew, for one of God's people back then, it meant something very specific. And what it meant for you to have a day that you would rest. So Sabbath means rest. It was the command to completely cease from your ordinary labor. You just stop with it. And so that was the command. Remember the Sabbath day, keep it holy, stop from all your labors like God did. If you want to read those places where you have the third commandment, you can go to Exodus chapter 20. And there in verses 8 to 11, we're commanded, God's people are commanded, stop from your labors, remember the Sabbath day, do not work. And the reason why you can is because God rested too, and he rested from his creative activity. Now, in Deuteronomy, what's interesting is that's the second place where the third commandment is recorded. It's Deuteronomy 5, verses 12 to 15, is that we're actually provided a different foundation for why God wants us to rest. And the reason why he wants us to rest there is it comes out of the redemption that God provided when Israel left Egypt and they got out of slavery. So we actually have two reasons to rest, God's people do. One is that God rested from his creative activity, and the second is that God redeems us. So the idea on the Sabbath day is we get to rest to remember God's labors for us, that he creates and that he also redeems. Now, what that actually looked like for an Old Testament one of God's people is interesting, because God doesn't really flesh that out a whole lot. He just says, don't work. We do find some things that are forbidden. So, for example, there's no stick gathering for fires and that kind of thing. We know for sure that you weren't supposed to engage in your normal commerce or like carrying really heavy things or treading wine presses or something like that. But beyond that, we're really not told much. And so people start asking this question, like, what can I do this? Can I do that? Is that considered labor under the third commandment? And various human laws grew out of that, and that's why you have some of God's people here, namely the Pharisees, coming up and saying, you can't pick heads of grain. That's where the Sabbath controversy erupted. There's actually no law in the Old Testament that says you cannot pick grain. It was just something that people thought maybe was wrong, and so that's where the controversy develops. Now, Jesus ends up saying, no, it's not wrong, that his disciples are innocent for picking grain. We know that for sure. But what he doesn't do, and this is what I want you to understand, I don't have time to get into this into the sermon coming up, but what he doesn't do is litigate Sabbath law. That's something that I really want you to understand. He does not litigate Sabbath law. He's not developing case history here so we know what's right or wrong on the Sabbath day. What he does instead is he uses it as an occasion, wonder of wonders, to teach us about himself, about what his identity is, about who he is. And this fits in a much larger pattern inside the book of Matthew. It kind of comes to its greatest, so you might say, kind of apex in Matthew chapter 16, where Peter finally confesses, you are the Christ, and things like that. But here in Matthew chapter 12, Jesus is teaching his disciples here who he really is. That's why he says, haven't you read what David did when he and his companions were hungry? He entered the house of God, and he and his companions ate the consecrated bread. And so what Jesus is arguing there is he's saying, look, David provided bread for hungry people, and he did that even with consecrated bread. If David can do it, then I can too. So really what he's arguing for his identity, he's saying, I'm the greater David. Now David was a king. Jesus is saying, I'm the greater king. I'm the greater king, and I'm going to use the Sabbath to provide for my people, to satisfy them, to renovate them, to give them rest. That's what Jesus came to do. He argues again, and he says, look, haven't you read about the priests? They're doing stuff in the temple on the Sabbath. And then he comes out, and this time he says it very explicitly. He says, I tell you that something greater than the temple is here. And what he's saying is, I'm the thing that's greater than the temple. You see, because the temple was a place where sacrifices were made. It's a place where sins were covered over before God by those sacrifices. And what Jesus is saying, I'm the greater temple. I am the temple. And he talks about this in other places in the Gospels too, because he's the thing that dies and covers our sins before God. So Jesus is using this as a chance to teach us who he really is. He's the greater David. He's the greater temple. He's the thing that gives us rest. And that helps me transition to the last thing I want to talk about today as a pretext. And that's really what the third commandment means for us today. One of the things that we have to understand about the commands in the Old Testament is that there are three types. There are civil laws. Civil laws were laws that govern the, you might say, the national life of the people. Those don't apply today because we're no longer in a theocracy or a government of God. And there were also laws called ceremonial laws that regulated the religious life of the people. Here's how God wants you to worship him, to deal with sin, etc. And those laws no longer apply either because all those laws were really only meant to point to Christ. And some of you are thinking, well, where do you find that out? And the answer is that you find that out in the New Testament, particularly in books like Colossians, where, like in Colossians chapter 2, it says, don't let anybody judge you by a new moon festival or a Sabbath or whatever, because the reality is found in Christ. Those former things were only a foreshadowing or a shadow of the things that were to come. Now that we have Christ, we don't need those other things. Now, the last kind of law that you find in the Old Testament is moral law. Moral law is binding on all people of all time. And that's neatly, Christians have always thought this, moral law that's binding on all people of all time, that's God's will for everybody, is, Christians have always thought, nicely summarized in the Ten Commandments. And the reason why we know the Ten Commandments are still binding is that they're still talked about in the New Testament as binding. Now, there's just one exception to that, one just tiny little asterisk, you might say, and that's actually in the Third Commandment. Because the Third Commandment for Old Testament people was to stop from your labor. In the New Testament, that exception goes away because that becomes a part just of the ceremonial law. And again, we'd go to passages like Colossians chapter 2, which says, don't let anybody judge you by a Sabbath day. That was supposed to just be a shadow of Christ, who is your true, true rest. So what that means is you don't have to not mow your lawn on Sunday. It's not wrong for you to like send an email to somebody on Sunday or something like that. Now, I will say this, it's still a good idea to take physical rest. And it's not only a good idea, it's completely necessary for you as a human. You have to let your body restore and heal and do that. So physically, it's an important thing for you to do, but you get to choose how to do that now in your own life. You're free to do that. So that we call that the abrogation of the ceremonial law. That's the big theological term for it, which basically means they're no longer in force today. What still is in force today, what is moral law today, is the resting in Christ, in actually having a holy time with him. We're told in the New Testament to regularly get together, to have a sacred time to do that, to actually be religious about that. We're told that we should be getting together regularly, especially as Christ's return gets closer to us. And there's one way in particular, and we say this in the small catechism, that we have to do that, and that's to gather around God's word. That's what makes a holy day holy, is when we spend time in God's word. And so the part of the Third Commandment that's still in force today is, you know, to quote the Small Catechism, don't despise preaching and his word. Set aside time for it. Now, we're free to do when we're going to do that. We could pick any time to do that. Here at Peace, we've decided we're going to set aside time together. We're going to dedicate ourselves to God, his word, and each other. Sundays at 10 a.m., that's when we do it. We're free to do it another time. We've chosen to do it then. And so that's when we get together to do that, to rest in Christ. In closing, I'll just tell you this. There are some parts of Christianity, I still find this spook around, who still believe in the external, you might say the external regulations of the Third Commandment, who think that you have to not do any physical labor on Sunday. So probably the biggest example of that is the sect called the Seventh-day Adventist Church. they're big pushers of that. But again, they're not taken to heart those words that you can find in multiple places in the New Testament that say that part of the that's just ceremonial law. Now we have full rest in Christ. And what's God's will for us now is to gather around his word and receive the rest in the forgiveness of sins that he's already won for us. And so that's what we get to do here at Peace. Maybe for now, I'll just leave you with a couple questions that maybe you can talk about with somebody you're riding with on the way to church, or just for you to think about if you're receiving this podcast just by yourself. Number one, ask yourself how you physically rest. I think this is a good time for us to think about that. Do you have a regular cyclical time when you just let your body rest? Whatever that means for you, maybe you go get rejuvenated by taking a hike on a trail and you get away, or you have a day where you just kind of lay low once a week. How do you rest? That's the first question I have for you that I think is worthwhile for us to think about. And then this is maybe the more important question, not maybe, it is the more important question. How do you spend time with Jesus in his word? How can you do that more in your life? I'll let you think about that and leave you with just a great gospel thought that he is your perfect rest. Whatever you're going for, whatever you're trying to make up for, you already have in the perfect forgiveness and love of Jesus. I can't wait to tell you more about that on Sunday. We're really going to dig into it a lot more then. Thanks for listening. This is Pretext. Please let me know what you think of it, if it's worthwhile, if it's helpful. I'd love to know.